Grind up some greasy, greasy coffee beans. Columbia Dark Supreme. My heart beats fast and my eyes are wide. Make me toss and turn all night.
Welcome to episode 231 of Grits to Glitz, the podcast that asks the question, read any good books lately?
Greasy coffee beans. Greasy coffee beans. Make me feel so extreme.
We are easily amused.
Oh, that cracks me up so much. Okay.
That was Feather with Robin Morgan Fisher, Greasy Coffee Beans, MusicAlley.com.
Every time I type the notes out, I start to say, the PodSafe Music Network.
No. Habit.
We are Grits to Glitz. Amy is on the other side of the continent from me. She's my sister. And I'm Bae.
And I'm Amy, who's on the... You're just really changing things. I'm in Las Vegas.
I'm Bae. I'm in East Tennessee. There's
and,
that better?
Yes. And if you guys don't like it that we're shaking things up, you can call us and tell us so at 206-309-7232.
Or you can always write to us at Mrs. Doubtfire at gritstoglitz.com.
The thing is, this got to be kind of a competition when we call each other on the phone. You answer the phone in your highest register, and then the other person has to go higher than that.
I don't have any high registers anymore. So it's
neither
like,
do I.
Yeah, it takes it out of me.
Yeah, but it's fun. Okay, so this is the podcast between sisters on the opposite sides of the continent. And we used to talk about Project Runway, but it's not on right now. So
no, but it's going to be soon because they're taping it right now.
Yay!
They had a fashion show in Times Square, so.
Ooh, my goodness, you really are keeping up with this stuff.
BloggingProjectRunway.com.
If I didn't have to just drive all the time, you know, ever since I said I want to move to Knoxville, it's like, how long is this going to take? I want it to be finished already.
For many years, I drove an hour or more each way.
Yeah. So you know what it's like.
So I know what it's like. It takes it out of you. And, well, I should mention, though, it can be very creative time.
Really?
Yes. Do you remember what I did while I was driving back and forth to work?
You listened to books on tape, didn't you?
I did that. But the thing is, I would listen to talk radio.
Yes.
And one of the shows that I listened to was Dr. Dean Adele. Does anybody remember Dr. Dean Adele? Because I don't think the show's on anymore.
I remember the theme song.
Well, but that's the thing is Dr. Doctor, and they would get phone calls. And the thing is, the local talk station had Penis or Pot Mound Ball that they played with Dr. Dean Adele. He had a daily tidbit, like a minute or two, that they played on the station. It was one of those things as a service that they gave. And he liked to talk about pot. And how it doesn't hurt you. And penises, for some reason. His medical things had a lot to do with that. And he was in San Francisco.
Well, are we talking about Dr. Dean Adele?
Yes.
Okay, he was the one talking about pot and penises.
Yes, and the local talk station called it Penis or Pot Mound Ball. Every day they put a quarter in a jar, and then somebody, one of the hosts or somebody of the station, would guess whether the subject was going to be penis or pot. And if they got it right, they got all the money in the jar.
That's crazy. Okay, I had no idea. I was not commuting to Chattanooga at the time.
But that's beside the point. And that's beside the point of the thing that's beside the point. Driving to work, I would listen to Dr. Dean. Now, that was the little 1 minute doohickey that they would play during other shows, but he had like an hour-long show. And somebody at some point recorded and sent to him, da da da, Dr. Dina Dell, Dr. Dina Dell, da da da, Dr. Dina Dell. You know, so, ha ha ha, that was funny.
Oh, yeah, that's adorable.
And then his producer, Daphne, started having a segment called Daphne's Corner, where on an irregular basis, there was no set schedule to this, she would, if she had a question, she would step into the studio, his producer, and ask the question, and he would address the question.
A weird question. It has to be said that Daphne's questions were a little out of left field.
Well, because she's a good producer, you know, she was trying to come up with good subject matter.
Right.
And Dr. Dean said, you know, we really ought to have theme music for Daphne's Corner.
Dun, dun, la, Amy to the rescue.
Challenge. Here I am, driving, bored, and a penchant for song parodies.
Married to an audio engineer, so we had the sound equipment necessary.
Recording setup was available. So, yeah.
It was brilliant. We need to find a clip of that, the original.
Wow.
And play it on the show. I know.
You know, I know I had a recording of it at some point long, long ago. Golly.
8 computers ago.
20 years ago.
No.
I know that it was before 1995.
Okay, Mama died in 93.
Yeah.
Was it before Mama died? I think
no,
it was after Mama died.
It was
Mama
after
died.
That. So it was like 94-ish.
Wow. Wow. But it was brilliant because in keeping with the theme of da 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 Dr. Dina Dell, Dr. Dina Dell.
Yes.
It was the girl from Ipanema.
Right. So it went, Daphne's Corner, Daphne's Corner, it's Daphne's Corner, Daphne's Corner, it's Daphne's Corner, Daphne's Corner now. And there were verses and everything.
Yeah. That was the thing. It wasn't just, you know, the same thing repeated. It was she's going to ask him a question whether beer can clear up her congestion.
Yes.
I remember that.
And then these were inspired by actual questions that she had asked. She said, I had a cold, and then I went out and got drunk on beer, and then I felt better. So did the alcohol and the beer help? And then she was also thinking about getting her belly button pierced, and that was in the song. So.
That was many years ago when people actually hesitated before piercing various body parts.
Now it's, stick it out there, get it pierced.
You have to be careful where you put your body parts or they might get pierced or tested. Mm-hmm. You never know. Oh, that's fun. That was a good bunny trail, Amy. Thank you.
Sorry, what were we talking about?
I have no idea. It's summertime.
Oh, it was stinking hot this week in Las Vegas, which is par for the course.
It was pretty hot in Knoxville.
Unusually hot in Knoxville. See, the thing is, it was typically hot in Las Vegas. What was going on?
It was not unusually hot in Knoxville. I think we're sort of close to normal right now. It's a little less rainy than usual, a little less humidity than usual. But as far as the heat goes, we're kind of normal right now.
I thought there was a big heat wave on the East Coast, though. Did that not affect you this past week?
That was further north. That was not us. That was New York. You know, there's such shrinking violets in New York.
Oh, no, it's 90. Oh, ooh-ah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I don't know. But it really wasn't that bad here.
The summer that I worked after college, after high school, my summer job was working in a sock factory. Because there were no jobs at McDonald's.
That's what I love about you. You are not afraid to work. You are responsible and hardworking and responsible.
I needed money for college. I remember I went to another, there was another textile factory. They're all closed now. None of them are open anymore, but there was another textile factory in our little county. And I went in. I remember I had my little crisp yellow cotton dress with the pin tucks down the front. I was so smart.
Oh, it was so cute.
And I went in and said, "Excuse me, I am seeking employment." The guy nearly fell out of his chair. He said, I wish I could hire you. There's enough people come in here and say, "Yun's hiring."
Gainful employment. And Amy's like, that guy, I'm sure he did wish he could hire you. But you did. You went to work at a sock frickin' factory. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. You went to work at a sock factory.
And I remember it got over 100 degrees in Tennessee that summer. And the factory was not air conditioned. It was a sweatshop. It was miserable.
I don't understand how you did it, but that's one of the things I love about you. You do what is necessary to make yourself, you know, financially solvent. You're not a snob.
I remember I celebrated being a thousandaire. When I had saved up $1,000, I celebrated. I think I bought an Agner purse.
I love her stuff.
Yeah. Etienne? Yeah.
Yeah. That's a girl's name, ain't it?
But what was the hottest adventure you've ever had? What do you remember?
Wow. I am not a hothouse flower. I go to Florida. I used to go to Florida when the children were young and the economy was great. I would take my children to Disney World. And I think the worst hot weather experience I ever had was in July in Orlando. I know it was purposeful, deliberate self-mutilation in Orlando July weather.
Yeah, that would be miserable. You go, "Hey, look, it's cheap. We can get good reservations." That's why.
No, that's why. That's exactly why. And the other thing is, and I debate this with my husband every year. And of course, the economy is different now than it was 12 years ago, 13 years ago. And we talk about going to Florida in July again, and we say never again, never. But the parks are open so late and the bargains on the hotels are so good and it fakes you out. It's like, oh, yes, you could do this. No, you're wasting 2/3 of the day because you can't be in the parks while the sun is beating down on you relentlessly.
I wonder how many people faint and just keel over from the heat.
I wonder how many babies and toddlers get third-degree sunburns.
Oh,
that's the worst thing. And I used to see it every time we went to Orlando in the summertime. I'd be telling people, please, that child is baking in the sun. I really wonder how many babies get sunburned.
Oh, well, that's a downer.
I know. I'm a bitch. And I so love Disney World. And the gays who love Disney World love it, too. So I'm sorry I brought you down.
It's all magical and everything, except when it is killing you with the sun.
Yeah, go in September. Go in November.
So it's summertime. You know what's a good summertime activity I just did this evening?
What?
I went to dinner at the Outback. And of course, now I've started this up, and I can't remember the name of the beverage that I had. They had a special beverage for the summer, and it was all sweet tea vodka and minty and citrusy, and it was very summery.
Okay, everybody just listen to me. Ticka, ticka, type, type. Ticka, type, type.
What?
Outback.
Summer
cocktail.
And the benefit, the income from this is like a dollar of it goes to support our troops, which heaven only knows how they do that. But
oh my goodness.
Make them sell some more of those things. I just bought it because it sounded tasty.
I don't know. I've got an ad here.
Is it minty?
I can't tell. Actually, if I were going to judge, I would say this looks like a tequila drink.
Oh, no, this is not tequila-y. Absolute and mint and, oh, well, I should look it up. I had too many of them. Now I can't remember them.
That's the problem. Oh, we're big old drunks. Gosh.
Yeah. But it was very summery, is my point. No, since I can't remember what that was, let's just go. We'll go make a tea time.
Okay. Oh, yay. And by the way, I have found the sweet tea vodka in Tennessee. Yay.
Yay. Did you get it?
I have not gotten it, but I will next time. I've located it. It is here. Yay. So I can have it.
Here we go. It is the wild tea cocktail, and it says it has absolute wild tea vodka with natural citrus juice and unsweetened iced tea with a sprig of fresh mint.
Yay, fresh mint.
Tangy. It's tasty, too.
That's good, and I'd like a beverage like that. Thank you. That's enough to entice me to the Outback, and I resist the Outback with all of my being.
Really? Why?
The one that I've been to isn't all that great.
The one in Knoxville, when I was flying for work all the time, it would be one of the only places that was open late enough after my flight came in.
Right.
That I could go and have some dinner there after flying into Tennessee.
Right. So was it good then?
Well, it fed me, so I'm not complaining.
With which I am familiar, purports to be a steakhouse, and I have a particular idea of what a steak is, and it's an exemplary cut of meat cooked particularly well, and the ones that I've had from this particular Outback have been, I really think you could get that at McDonald's. If you put a steak on a grill at McDonald's, it would be okay.
Well, you know, one thing that they have is a horseradish crust that you can get on your steak, so it will disguise the inferior cut of meat and makes it very tasty.
Oh, I need to try that. Thank you for the heads up. Because my husband constantly is like, let's go to Outback, and I'm like, I'd rather burn the roof of my mouth.
Oh.
I know.
No, you know what I had this evening was the Hearts of Gold mahi, and it was so tasty. With artichoke hearts and sun-dried tomatoes and a light lemony sauce and the mahi-mahi. Very good.
Bitch.
So if you don't want steak, they're pretty good with fish, too.
I really should give them another chance. I should. And thank you for reminding me that I am not that nice a person. Hey!
Oh, no! That's not true. What?
What you're eating?
Do I have to tell you?
No, you don't. You don't have to tell me.
Good, because I'm embarrassed about what I'm currently reading.
Keep it to yourself.
Summer reading.
Yeah, everyone I know, and it's hilarious, and it really is hilarious, but everyone I know is reading 50 Shades of Grey or one of the sequels to 50 Shades of Grey.
Everybody's going to think now that I'm reading 50 Shades of Grey, which I am not. I am reading Most Actually. Talkative by Andy Cohen, so there, now you know. That's my kind of porn.
You're reading something by Andy Cohen, that smarmy guy on Bravo?
Yes!
No!
Don't judge!
Amy, I thought you were reading 50 Shades of Grey.
You're judging me, aren't you?
I am. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, I subscribe to The New Yorker. When I'm not reading Andy Cohen, I'm reading smart things in The New Yorker. So does that make you feel any better?
That does. Thank you. I feel much better about that.
I had to. Every time I would start reading something on the New Yorker, I would just keep reading for hours. And I finally decided, shoot, let me just give them some money.
There you go. That's a really good way to decide that. And I'm glad you subscribed. That gives writers who actually write a reason to write. Thank you, Amy.
Right. And I love it because I've got it on my Nook. I got a Barnes & Noble Nook, and every Monday I open it up, and there's a new issue of The New Yorker on my handy little device. Don't you wish you had one?
I don't have to wish. I had the best surprise at work on Friday. I got a box at work, and I never get anything at work. Every once in a while, I'll get an envelope that's directed to me. But this is the first time I've ever got something that was just mailed to me at work, and it was a Nook from Amy and our really dear friend Apollonius, who came to see me in the pot smoking play 3 years ago. You know,
he's a good guy. He is Eric.
And I am downloading stuff. I've got Pride and Prejudice and Snow Falling on Cedars, and I want to get The Hunger Games and I'm like pouring over BarnesandNoble.com and trying to figure out what to get next. And I want the 99-cent 25 great novels you absolutely must have.
What a bargain.
I know. And it's great stuff. It's Austen and Bronte sisters and Ellen Montgomery. And I cannot believe.
Well, I love reading periodicals on it. I mean, really and truly, I've got the New Yorker on there. And I found that for most of the magazines that one subscribes to, if you flip through it, you see a page in there at some point that says, get this on your tablet, which is your iPad or your Kindle or your Nook. And you can just carry your magazines and books with you on one little handy dandy device.
And that's the thing that I see, is that you get stuck in places and I'll have something to read. I won't be stuck reading Popular Mechanics, which, oh, please, I'd rather gouge out my eyes. Sports Illustrated and, you know, whatever newspaper happens to be lying around. And I use the term newspaper really loosely.
Do those exist anymore?
They do. They leave them lying around messily at restaurants. And it's mind-boggling. It really is.
I do like having my reading material with me and having it in a compact, lightweight, easy to carry thing. And here's what happened. Dear Apollonius, whom I follow on Twitter, posted a picture of it and said, I got this as a rebate when I bought some tires, but I don't know if I want to support two different e-readers. And he didn't say, and incidentally, this is for sale, or I'm fishing, I'm hoping somebody will buy. But I wrote to him immediately, because I have my Nook already, and I said, well, you know, if you decide you don't want it, I'll take it off your hands. And
you're
thus
so
began.
Sweet.
Well, the thing, I didn't want to push him, you know, say, sell me that for a ridiculous price. I just really and truly, if it were for sale, I would give him his rebate in cash money that he could use and would delight my sister and give me a Nook friend so that if you buy Lindable books,
we can share. Hunger Games. The Hunger Games that I'm getting is one of those shareable books. So,
and most talkative, I know you'll be crushed to find this out, but most talkative is not shareable. Many, many of the publishers have shut down the lending of the books.
Snotty publishers.
I saw somebody online who made an excellent point that said, you know, if they could keep you from lending the paper copies, they would do that too.
That's a good point. Yes, they would.
They would.
Yeah, they would. So they figured out how to do it electronically. But that's okay. We're still going to enjoy the Nooking. Ha ha ha.
That sounds kind of naughty.
By the way, Apollonius's puppy, Cairo, the good sweet dog, has been sick for the last few days. And I just wanted to say, I really hope Cairo is feeling better now.
Get
today,
well
tonight,
soon, Cairo.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have succumbed to peer pressure and have started calling her Cairo.
It is, and I purposefully go with the South Georgia pronunciation, Cairo. It's Cairo.
I fully approve of Cairo. C-A-I-R-O. Cairo.
That's right. Cairo. It's Cairo.
Way further south than Monticello.
That's true. Okay. Speaking of Cairo and exotic things.
Yes.
We always do the best thing about working in downtown Knoxville. And usually when I do that, it's about something that is in downtown Knoxville. And this time, the best thing about working in downtown Knoxville is proximity to West Knoxville.
Oh!
Because between downtown and home lies this vast expanse known as West Knoxville. Vast.
Vast, congested expanse.
Congested expanse. But this Friday night on our way home from work, Wesley and I did something completely new and unexpected.
Pray tell, what was that?
We went to a Korean restaurant that we have never been to before.
Ah,
and
Korean.
Korean, because, okay, when I was in Las Vegas a couple of months ago with my dear sister Amy, at the Wicked Spoon Buffet, they had Korean short ribs. And
yes.
Later on at Holstein's, I had a thing that was like inspired by Korean barbecue and Chinese barbecue. And it was indescribable because it was that poofy Chinese dumpling bread.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
And then it had
puffy.
Puffy. And then it had the Asian barbecue meat and an Asian kind of tangy, I don't want to say it was slaw, but it was kind of something. It was crunchy and tasty. And it was completely delicious. And it didn't taste like anything else I have ever had in my entire life. And I was determined to find Korean barbecue again. And I started looking, and there's one Korean restaurant in Knoxville.
What's the name of it?
Kaya. K-A-Y-A.
Uh-huh.
And
okay, go ahead. Yeah, go on.
I'm so hesitant to say go to Kaya because it's not as pretty as P.F. Chang's.
But those are the kinds of places that you feel like it's your little secret. Yeah, dive, hole in the wall.
Yes.
Great yeah. Food. Doesn't look like a place.
It doesn't look like a place that you want to go to, and you're the only white people in there.
And that's a good indicator, though.
That's the thing. That's a really good indicator. If you're the only white people in there, then that's the best Cuban food, and that's the best Korean food. And that's exactly what we ran into. I cannot tell you the name of the dish I ordered. I can't. It was pork. I don't know the rest of it.
Did they have a picture in the menu? Is that how you picked it out?
Actually, it was listed under Korean barbecue, and it had this horrific price tag. It said, you have to order two of these, and they will be cooked at your table. And then the same thing was under regular dinners. And it was half price, and it wasn't going to be cooked at my table. And I said, you know, I don't need the spectacle of being cooked at my table if it's half price. And so I ordered that because it was the same name. And the girl said you could get it spicy or mild or medium or whatever. And I said mild, and she did mild. And Wesley got the same thing but beef version. And it came with this big meat dish and sticky, sticky rice. And I can't describe how sticky this rice was. It was just incredibly sticky.
Was this served in a super hot stone bowl?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I know where you're going. We've got those in Las Vegas, and they're so good.
And there were five vegetable dishes that were also brought to the table at the same time. And three of them were super spicy, and two of them, bean sprouts and sweet potatoes, were not super spicy. And Amy, I have never liked sweet potatoes. Never in my life have I enjoyed a sweet potato until I went to Kaya, and it was amazing.
I'm so tickled for you. You're just becoming a wild woman. I mean, you've never been timid about ordering new dishes, but you do tend to stick with the things you like.
Yes. The one thing that I like, I'm like, I go to a new restaurant, I find one thing I like on the menu, and I get that for the rest of my life. And mm-hmm. My husband is amazed at me because I walked into a strange place that looked and smelled strange. And I looked at a menu that I could not read, and I still ordered it and sat there and ate it and loved it. So I'm Superwoman right now because I took that leap And also, wow, the food was incredibly good. I got the same thing that I got for me. I brought it home for my son. He loved it. I had my leftovers today for lunch. They were as good today as they were yesterday.
Now, backing up just a second, he is picky. He is not fond of trying new things, and he trusted you and enjoyed it.
It doesn't taste like anything else I've ever had. I'm amazed that I could get to be this age and taste something unique. It's like when we found pesto. It's like, oh my gosh.
Where has this been all my life?
Exactly. That's exactly it.
It's funny. I was talking just the other day that I don't think our mother ever cooked a sweet potato in our house.
No.
And I think I was turned off of sweet potatoes by the cafeteria in school.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And yet I discovered it in college when I was in Japan. There was a truck that came around, and they were wrapped up in tin foil, and one of the girls bought me a sweet potato and said, here. And I was like, oh, I don't know. It was so good.
Yeah, sometimes we just have to be forced to try this new thing. But it was great. It was amazing. So go to Kaya. That's the best thing about working in downtown Knoxville this week.
And I didn't go anywhere new at all.
Outback. Yay, Las Vegas.
Yay, Outback. Ooh, how exotic.
Oh, my. Okay. Did you get anything in the mail?
Yes.
After talking about my getting the note.
Yes, I did. I got the most gorgeous handmade card in the mail. And the best thing about it is it had a bird on it.
Yay, birdies.
You have made some of the most inspired, naughty cards. And I think that's just so funny because they're so artistic and beautiful. And then they say very surprising things.
But I think my favorite really is crusty whore. That's my favorite sentiment to put on a card.
Yes. That's a good one. And, you know, it suits some people. But I got the most gorgeous little card with the sweetest sentiment on it. And it was from my dear sister. And it had money in it, too, which was even nicer.
Yeah. Thank you for keeping me on your cell phone account. That's the best. It really is. I use the GPS once a week at least.
Isn't it wonderful what these phones can do these days?
Yes, it is. It's not as good as, you know, reading a book on a tablet, but it's pretty cool.
You know, there's an Android app. There's a Nook Android app. So you can also access your Nook stuff on your phone. But it's not as good as reading it on your Nook.
No, because the phone is smaller. Thank goodness. I want my phone to be small. I want my phone to be... I can remember my boss got a new phone and was just amazed at how big it was. And then he was like, oh, I have to hold this up to my head. It's huge. So, yes, the big phone is not necessarily a great thing. So I want my phone to be small, and I want my Nook to be big enough to read.
Right, and that's the whole thing about an e-reader. It is made specifically for reading. Displaying reading material. And it's got your Nook has e-ink, which the magic about that is it arranges all the pixels, and then it turns off the battery. It doesn't have to do anything special energy consuming to keep that display like that. You can it uses very little battery power.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Apollonius. Thank you, Barnes and Noble, for coming up with the Nook.
Yay!
We live in miraculous times.
And they're nifty devices.
Before we go, I do want to say that Amy had an amusing thing that she linked to me earlier this week, and we're going to link it on the website. Pointer, pointer.
Oh, I am so easily amused. I saw this somewhere. That's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
And I saw it and was like, that's cute. But
I was highly amused by it. I thought, my sister will be delighted and amazed.
It was like a blanket.
Oh, huh. Yeah. But pointerpointer.com, yes, you go to there and you move your mouse around. If you're listening to us on your iPod at work, just go quick, check out pointerpointer.com. And you move your mouse around and it says, okay, I'm locating. Hold it still and you leave it still. And then it will display a picture of somebody pointing at the exact spot where your mouse has rested.
So they have downloaded a bunch of pictures.
I thought it was so crazy.
It was so cute.
And the thing is, it's an app I could have written. I'm looking at that and going, oh, why didn't I think of that? That's funny.
Oh, Amy. That's fun. So if you have some fun thing that you need to link to us, please send it to us. You can send it to us at amy@gritstoglitz.com or bay@gritstoglitz.com.
Or easily amused at gritstoglitz.com.
And you can always leave us voicemail at 206-309-7232.
There you go again with the zeros.
Sorry.
That's proper and correct. I just, you know.
Yeah.
Throws me off.
You guys are the best. Bye,
yes, you
bye,
are.
Bye.
Bye. Ah,
grease it, coffee beans. The only high that's really clean. I like cream in my coffee like a thundercloud. Sugar as sweet as a horn is loud. If you want to break the old routine, grind up some greasy coffee beans. Ah, greasy coffee beans. Greasy coffee beans. Greasy.